on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. Emma Waters joins us from the Heritage Foundation. Emma, thanks for taking the time.
Steve, it's great to be with you as always.
Well, many of us are aware of the protesters entering a church in St. Paul, Minnesota on January 18th. Made a lot of headlines. We saw Don Lemon's face come up several times around that time. And since then, based on what happened on January 18th, what many of us don't know, Emma, including myself until I saw this article today, is that things are still kind of happening at this same church in St. Paul. Can you bring us up to speed?
So on Easter Sunday, we saw a very similar occurrence of an entire group of protesters standing outside the church, blasting music and loudly protesting during their religious service, simply because, as some of the congregants had said, that the pastor had worked for ICE. Now, unlike the January 18th occurrence, they did not run into the church and disrupt the service there. However, their incredibly loud disruptive actions outside were certainly influencing people as they entered the church, as they worshiped, and as they exited the church, creating a very chaotic and unsafe feeling environment, especially for the children, as you can imagine. Now, this is, I think, to the point of ridiculous for many people who are wondering why this one church in particular is continuing to be targeted simply because of an affiliation that the pastor has with ICE. And in doing so, actually violating some of Minnesota state laws when it comes to protections around religious services and religious observations, where this sort of protesting shouldn't be taking place. And the final thing I'll say on this, what I was actually very surprised to read, Steve, and I had not realized myself, is that all the charges had been dropped for those who had previously disrupted the service in January. So apparently they have it fresh charges and followed through with legal action against any of the original protesters, at least in the state of Minnesota. And so some of the congregants in the article said that they felt like because the law enforcement in Minnesota had not taken it seriously the first time around, that it sort of created an unofficial permission slip that they could do it again. And worst comes to worst, they'll get a slap on the hand, but they'll cause way more harm than any to the members going to church than they themselves will experience.
Well, you know, as I read through this and hear what you're telling me, there just seems to be duplicitous actions based on, well, you can only speculate what it's based on. And forgive me because I don't have it in front of me, but is it the FACE Act that was passed that has impacted some of these occurrences?
I believe that the Justice Department did explore using the FACE Act as a way of prosecuting these protesters in January, but that would have gone through federal lawmakers. And I'm not sure what the status is on that particular angle.
Yeah, which by the way, FACE is Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, which I'm not sure it was the same that was applied to a family that was, I believe they were on the East Coast, but don't quote me on that. Months ago, where a dad and I believe a child were praying outside of a clinic, routinely, an abortion clinic, and, you know, oh, dark 30, the family has several vehicles pull up out front and officials arresting the father at the home as the family, you know, is traumatized. But when it comes to what's happening in Minnesota, you know, we don't see that kind of action. We see the people involved in what appears to be a violation of the FACE Act, you know, like, as you mentioned, I mean, all charges have been dropped and cleared, it does seem duplicitous.
Yes, this is precisely right. The FACE Act has been primarily weaponized against pro-life Christian, pro-life individuals who have been silently in many cases, and in every case peacefully, protesting or praying outside of abortion facilities or near abortion facilities, and yet they have received the full force of the law against them simply for their peaceful behavior near an abortion facility, in many cases not even saying anything directly. And yet, when it comes to an entire group of protesters who are storming a church, disrupting a service, causing much mayhem, and breaking, it seems, some of the state laws, the FACE Act hasn't even been utilized to the fullest degree that it potentially could be. And I'm sure there are many legal questions to explore, but it does seem that where there's a will, there's a way. And at least the state or the federal government, considering the best way to push back against this form of religious persecution, should be a top priority.
Yeah, well, let me encourage those that are hearing this and, you know, where's the justice? Well, you know, God is just. And he does give us instruction when it comes to persecution. In Matthew 5:44, the NIV tells us, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Any of these I'm sharing from the NIV. Romans 12:14 saying, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And one more from Luke 6:27, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And I must say, from the coverage I've seen from this church in St. Paul, for the most part, everything I've seen from the parishioners and the leaders at this church, they're implementing those verses. And I've seen them represent the cause of Christ as ambassadors. So obviously our listeners can continue to pray for the city's church in St. Paul, as those disruptions hopefully have ended, but you know, you just don't know. Anything to add, Emma?
I think that about summarizes it, but I like the call to remember that as Christians, we are not only to expect persecution, but also trust that the Lord and his sovereignty and goodness is the one who ultimately provides justice for those who are being persecuted for their faith.
Yeah, amen. Well, Emma, always appreciate your insight into these articles. The article I should have mentioned from Tyler O'Neill at the Daily Signal. You'll find it at dailysignal.com. Emma, have a fantastic weekend, and we look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Thanks, Steve. Talk to you later.
And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.